As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Coming up at about 1:10, I know... It's like when Toronto has a 7:10 start or something like that. Everybody does 5 after. I'm not sure why they do that. We'll have Senator McCormick, who's in the center of a lot of stuff. I will ask him this question, though. Are we now going to be the party that taxes the rich somewhat in order to make up for the other stuff? We're watching on Fox. Did someone faint again? Dr. Oz. I didn't know that was Dr. Oz, Dan.
A
little white looking. White hair. At least.
Yeah, he must have been dyeing his hair before because I sat with him up close and all that, and he never looked anything like that. I didn't even know that was Dr. Oz. That's a little bit too gray to me, a little bit too much. And did somebody faint there when President Trump was swearing him in?
We're trying to get the exact details of what happened here, but we were watching the press conference, and all of a sudden you see Trump and everybody kind of look off to the side.
Right.
Very unhappy.
Here's the audio of this.
You'll all be very unhappy.
Have you spoken to your
life,
your
who
life,
is leading
your
those
Your life will be in great danger.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mr. President.
Yeah. Press out.
And the really cool thing, just like before when it happened,
right.
Oz jumps into action. He runs from behind Trump to go address the situation that's playing out here.
And I wish I had the footage of it in the past. He had to hurdle this little stanchion that was there.
Yeah.
And I'm getting conflicting things. Some guys are telling me to keep talking, like, don't pay attention to this. They'll handle it. Others are saying, you got to cut it. This woman's fainting in front of you.
So I'm watching the video still. Trump then walks over. It looks like it's a... It's actually a child, maybe?
Is there... Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think I heard the words Mila fainted. I don't know if there's...
Mila, okay.
I just showed Henry a picture here.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
No, that's what I saw going out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Dr. Oz sworn in. I saw Dr. Marty, and we got to get him on. It's not easy here. I got something in the works. By the way, just a little pause here, Dan. I don't even get any sound of it. The Dean of Decency was on Fox. At a rally in Bluebell on Thursday night, last night, Madeline Dean talking about if they can grab Mr. Garcia, they can grab anybody. You know, they're going to die on this hill. Yes, they are, because this hill politically is a hill to die on. So Dan has a little bit of President Trump addressing the media right there, taking questions once again. And a former Obama person said, you got to give it to him. He takes more questions than any president we've seen, certainly compared to Biden. It's just ridiculous. Here's President Trump, though, talking about Garcia.
In 2019, Garcia was issued a deportation order two separate judges affirmed Garcia was a member of MS-13, which is a gang that may be even worse than Trendy Aracua. It may be worse. They kill people with knives because it's more painful. Very famous for the knifing and killing of two young 16-year-old girls walking to school one day, and they sliced them up into little pieces and killed them. That's MS-13. And two separate judges affirmed Garcia was a member of MS-13. When Garcia was originally arrested, he was wearing a sweatshirt with rolls of money pouring out and an MS-13 gang symbol that he was driving with two other known violent MS-13 gang members, two of the most violent members that we know of in the MS-13 gang of thugs. In 2022, Garcia was stopped by the Tennessee Highway Patrol, who was found to be transporting seven people from Texas to Maryland, and he had no driver's license. He was driving violently. In 2020 and 2021, Garcia's wife filed for a protective order from him and said he was violent and abusive and really scary, including allegations that he punched and scratched her on the eye, left her bleeding after throwing her laptop on the floor at her, ripped her shirt, and ripped off her shorts. He then grabbed her arm, leaving very severe marks. Garcia's wife also wrote in court, "At this point, I am afraid to be close to him. I just don't want to be close. I have multiple photos and videos how violent he can be and all of the bruises that he's left on me." She just couldn't get anywhere near him. This is the man that the Democrats are wanting us to fly back from El Salvador to be a happily ensconced member of the USA family. Isn't it a shame? And by the way, I've been hit pretty hard by fake shows, fake news, MSDNC in particular, where they talk about how evil I am, that this man would be thrown out of our country. This man is a, according to certified statements that we get, is a very violent person. And they want this man to be brought back into our country where he can be free and to stay as a happily Maryland, you know, happily, they call him the Maryland man. He's a Maryland father. No, this is a violent person.
All right. So there you go. President Trump reading from various things right there in front with the reporters. Okay. How in the world do they think they're going to gain on this? Well, part of it is they think one of these judges is going to say something that Trump, these district judges, is not going to go for, and then they'll be able to move for impeachment. Let them go for impeachment. Haven't we been through this before? Haven't they learned this stuff will backfire? And the answer is, you got to look at it from their perspective. What else do they have? What else can they do in these situations? They have nothing. Tomorrow, more rallies. David Brooks, alleged conservative, he's, if anything, a moderate, writing for the New York Times, is calling now not just for massive rallies, but massive strikes, that people are going to go on strike to try to shut Trump down. Well, in Philadelphia, that might happen. They like to strike, so anything could happen here. And in Ambler tomorrow, the hands-off Ambler rally. And they have the picture of a founding father, of a patriot, because it's Paul Revere Day, Lexington, Concord, Ambler. How did Ambler make it on the Freedom Trail? Apparently now it is. They're all revved up for this tomorrow. All right, here's Josh Shapiro, though. Did about a 7.5-minute interview, or they did that on Good Morning America this morning, in the aftermath of this. And he talks about how the guy got to the house. He talks about his level of confidence in the state police. And he also talks about Dan Muser. Muser was critical of him, saying, well, you're not helping matters. All you do is attack President Trump routinely, which is true. And I'll play you what he said about Muser. So here's Shapiro with George Stephanopoulos kind of setting the scene of what happened.
It's real. I mean, this is sadly a real part of our society today, and it needs to be universally condemned, George. I don't care if it's coming from the left, from the right. I don't care if it's coming from someone who you voted for or someone who you didn't vote for, someone on your team or someone on the other team. I think every single leader has a responsibility to speak and act with moral clarity and condemn this kind of violence.
Are you surprised he was able to get this far, actually get into the mansion?
Look, there were clearly security failures. And I want you to know I have confidence in the Pennsylvania State Police to learn from it, to address it. We're bringing in a third party, an independent law enforcement leader to review our protocols, to review our systems and make them even better.
That is the first part of how this went down. And they continue talking about some of the broader lessons, and this gave Shapiro the ability to comment on he would not. And you know he's not going to do this. Stephanopoulos tried to go there a couple of times. Pin it on where this came from. Anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, anti-Shapiro, because he is the most prominent, arguably, well, maybe Schumer, Jewish politician, and he is a great voice post-October 7th speaking out on this stuff and correctly doing it. Here's how that sounded.
Why don't you want to address that question? Because we even saw Senator Schumer today sent a letter to the Attorney General saying he believes this should be labeled and investigated as a hate crime.
I'm not sure it's helpful for people on the outside to be weighing in with their opinions here, George, no matter who they are. You've asked me a couple times why I haven't sort of given you maybe the kind of answer that you're seeking. I want to explain why.
Yeah.
I know as a former prosecutor how important it is to follow the evidence and apply the law, and to do so without fear or favor. In this case, I'm the victim of the crime. I'm not the prosecutor. The prosecutors will weigh all the different evidence, determine what the motive is. I think for me to dwell on that, to focus on that, is not my job.
We know what the motive is. He doesn't want to say it because it gets at his party. We know what the motive is, and we're not going to move away from that. We know who is doing this. We know who the anti-Semitic party is in large measure because of Gaza and Israel. And that's what it's about. All right, we'll talk with Senator Dave McCormick here momentarily about a number of things. And he is right in the center of all the stuff around what's going to happen with the tax cuts, et cetera. Let's go to Senator Dave McCormick here on Talk Radio 1210. Senator, welcome in. Good afternoon. Hey, Senator, welcome in.
Hey, thank you. How you doing?
Good, Senator. Very good. Senator, you spoke out about Josh Shapiro. Give me an idea of your thoughts after this Good Morning America interview.
Well, listen, this all really started in my mind with what happened in Butler, where I was there when President Trump got shot. And wrote a piece that talked about, this violence in politics that we had to stop. And really, I think it's a lot about how we dehumanize people. And when the same thing happened to Governor Shapiro in a different way with, the arson in the governor's mansion, someone trying to harm the governor and his family, which was just a horrific thing. I just wanted to step up and say, listen, despite the fact that Governor Shapiro and I are from different parties and have very different views on things, that we've got to stop this violence in politics, and we got to have political leaders conduct themselves in a way that's not contributing to it. And it's hard not to see a pattern where there's more and more political violence, and I think it really threatens our democracy, which is the point I wanted to make.
Senator, isn't it helpful, though? And look, I don't want to be critical. The guy had the house burned down. He was under attack. In the Good Morning America interview, we know what the motivation is, at least what the guy told the police. And we know that Shapiro, I think, would have helped their party tremendously if he had been on the ticket. And we know there's part of it, at least. It's anti-Jewish. Schumer today is saying that. I think we got to call that out in a respectful way, but that's part of it.
The anti-Semitism. Absolutely. No, I mean, we have seen this huge rise in anti-Semitism post October 7th. We've seen it on our nation's campuses. We've seen, shockingly, the unwillingness of university presidents like Liz McGill at Penn to stand up against anti-Semitism, and that persists. And I think it's the kind of thing which is deeply embedded in parts of our society, and that's also something that I've tried to stand up and be a really strong voice on, because it's intolerable.
Senator, we played today on the show, and I'm not sure how widespread this is, but you are one of the driving forces in the Senate now. I watch and go to on issues like the tariffs, on issues like banking, and the really big things, our economy. But the argument is out there. We played a Republican congressman saying the president's being told you can get the cuts, the tax cuts, overtime, Social Security, and the like, but we have to up the so-called high-end taxes. People like me and others in talk radio today are saying, we want to be the working party, we want this broad tent, and we have it. But I don't think that's the way to go philosophically, and I don't think it's the way to go for the economy to start to go down that path.
I'm with you. Listen, I think we're not the party of raising taxes. And if you look at the taxes today, the 2017 tax cuts that President Trump put into place, you see that the good portion of those taxes, a large majority, help people making $400,000 and below. For a family of family making $50,000, it was a $2,500 tax break. And listen, in the United States, we have a pretty progressive tax system. And what I mean by that is that 10% of the population pays 70% of the taxes. 1% of the population pays 40% of the taxes. So I don't think the path to prosperity is through raising taxes. I do believe that there's things we continue to need to do to make it more viable for working families, for people living on the edge, to be able to have children and to get by. And so, you know, one of the things you and I talked about in the campaign, which I'm going to be a forceful advocate for, is child care tax credits, is child tax credits, is IVF tax credits, mm-hmm. because we see less and less young people having families because they can't afford it. So I do think we need to do more to help, but it's not by raising taxes. It's by cutting them. The way to get our economy back on track is to deregulate. Huge deregulation, have energy dominance. It's to have tax cuts become permanent. And it's to make our economy welcoming to capital from around the world. And we've already seen trillions of dollars of new capital coming. So I'm optimistic we got wind at our back. The tariffs have created some uncertainty. There's no doubt about that. And I'm hopeful the president's going to come out soon with a couple templates of the deals that are going to come forward. And that, I think, will give the market a little comfort that we're on a good path here.
Senator, we had on Chris Ruddy, who is a friend of the president, talks with him. And one of the things we were talking about, suddenly Iran's front page again. And Ruddy seemed to indicate, and there are some signs of it, I was unaware that we thought Iran was close to the bomb again, potentially. What's your sense of where we are with that?
Well, listen, I mean, the problem with Iran is they're completely not trustworthy. So, you know, if you move forward on an agreement with Iran, or even if they, you know, give you all the comfort or try to give you the comfort that they're not close to a bomb, I don't think you should put much faith in it. So I think the president has been unequivocally clear that we cannot have a nuclear-armed Iran. And the only way I could ever imagine any sort of path forward that doesn't involve literally taking that nuclear capability away with military means is for a complete capitulation by the Iranians on their desire to have a weapon. And it can't just be that they're going to stop further development. It has to be that they essentially open up the doors and make sure that the regulators can see that they don't have a nuclear capacity. They don't have enriched uranium and that we can move forward with some confidence. And that, I think that's the way this issue is being framed by the president, and I agree with him.
Moving forward, what's for constituents, listeners here, Senator, what are you working on? What's upcoming that you are really in the center ring involved that we should know about?
Well, you know, today I'm here in Philadelphia, and I've spent time with the Federal Home Loan Bank, and we're talking about affordable housing. That's a big issue, 11% rise in home prices last year in Pennsylvania. Unsustainable. Part of it's due to the, you know, really significant regulation at the municipal level. So we got to make changes to make housing more affordable. So that's a big focus. Really meeting with businesses to talk about these tariffs so I can understand some of the challenges that they're going through, and be a strong advocate with the trade representative and with the president for the kinds of policies, the kinds of exemptions that may make sense for Pennsylvania businesses. So that's a second big thing. And listen, I'm on the Energy Committee, and I'm the chairman of the Energy Subcommittee, And there's a big focus here on putting in the executive orders that help achieve the deregulation that helps achieve energy dominance. But there's also a lot of good work we need to do in the Senate with permitting reform that's going to make it much easier to drill and create pipelines and so forth. So those are the big issues, completely consistent with my campaign. I guess the final one's fentanyl. And you and I talked about this a lot during the campaign, mm-hmm. but you know, fentanyl killed 4,000 Pennsylvanians last year. My first bill that I introduced was the Fentanyl Task Force bill, which essentially created a law enforcement task force with clear accountability and resources to stop this terrible scourge of fentanyl. That, along with some of the key things the president has done, I think are going to put us on a really good path for dealing with the supply side of fentanyl. And that piece of legislation was co-sponsored by John Fetterman, which is important. We need to have bipartisan support for attacking fentanyl, and he and I are in it together.
Well, we still have not met. Someday the paths are going to cross. I'd love to host you and your wife on the book because I know there was difficulty in Pittsburgh. So let's see. Maybe we can make that happen.
Well, come see you, Dom. I promise. Looking forward to it. And thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Thanks, Senator, very much. Have a good day in Philadelphia. All right, Senator Dave McCormick, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Hit us on his comments. You heard what he said, and that was pretty straightforward. No, I'm not in favor of that. How about you? Don't evade. Tell me if you are. Hit us on the side question. Who is a bad boy?
Okay. I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it is Dom time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. You heard Senator McCormick on both Iran and also the tax question. So I think he senses that this is a real thing. This is what they're talking about. And I get it, the new Republican Party, but is that the type of thing that, is that where we should be going? Now, this is an unbelievable, I wish I had the sound. There doesn't appear to be any sound out there that you can find on this. It's just the coverage in Lancaster County, and then they talked about it. It was the first meeting of that new, or one of the first, on Thursday night, of the Lancaster County's first Democratic senator in more than a century. Remember this guy, Malone? Remember he beat the Republicans there? Remember people couldn't believe it? Was that a tell on anything other than mail-in balloting? Well, during a digital policy forum hosted by the left-leaning Pennsylvania Policy Center, he was asked by a participant for his thoughts on a piece of Senate GOP legislation. This would ban biological males, they say trans girls and women, biological men from competing in grade school and collegiate sports teams and high school for girls and women. Malone answered, I'm probably going to vote for Senate Bill 9 and try to amend it to separate kids from adults to adjust the issues that are presenting as a problem so that we can move on to things that literally affect everybody. But hopefully we can adjust these rules and regulations so they don't affect our most vulnerable populations. Now you would think, what's outlandish about that answer? Well, the chairperson, the vice chair, Stella Sexton, of the Lancaster County Democrat Committee, who co-chaired his election campaign. He was a co-chairman. Interrupted as he was speaking about the legislation and said there are some bills Malone has not fully read. Basically, Malone then said, she's telling me not to tell too much. I have already gone through and read that one in detail, and they have my position on it. So imagine, even in Lancaster County, this guy who is reasonable on this issue. I don't think he quite gets it, but okay. He's being told publicly there by the vice chairman. She interrupts and says, no, he hasn't read all of this. Otherwise, he doesn't know what he's talking about on this. He absolutely does. And here's what it tells you. If this were put to a vote, in the full body. The House will just refuse to bring it up. I did read in this article, according to the Lancaster paper, they say Josh Shapiro has already said he would veto it. He would veto this bill, saying you can't have biological boys and men in female sports. Now, it's one thing that he says it, but if they got it through, which they would, then you know what's going to happen. There'll be hell to pay here. He will not be able to hide behind this moderate chameleon-like thing that he does. It would be a play. He believes, and look, this guy is politically tremendous. He would be reading the Democrat Party to say you can't run for president and say what this guy said here. Now, Newsom already has. You know, whether he, we know his actions different or all, but he at least publicly said it. Shapiro now, after what Newsom has done, is reading this and saying, no, you can't say that. You got to veto it. But is there hope for this guy? I mean, he at least gets it that you can have men in women's sports, right? Is that? And the vice chair says, oh, yes, you can. You haven't read it yet. All right, Dan, you have some of Madeline Dean, right? All right, here's Madeline Dean. This is in Bluebell on Thursday night, and we wanted to let you hear her. Are Democrats going to continue? And I have a question about Montgomery County. Here's what she said.
On that the Republicans can get into the prison and do photo ops and everything, and Senator Van Hollen can't talk to him or get in to see him or...
I don't know, but I'm very proud of Van Hollen for going there. We are also looking for a trip for me.
Oh,
I will
yes.
Do everything in my power to go there. And I don't know about you. We had a slide where we had all those white sheets. Here's a word I didn't think I was going to be using. The disappearing of people. When did we start thinking about the disappearing of people? I mean, I'm somebody who cares about words. We're a family that cares about language and words. And people are just disappeared off the street. That man was disappeared from his child. In front of his child, he was disappeared. And you saw the way they treated those men without humanity. Shaving their heads, making them look like they are less than, disappearing them. So I'm damn proud of Van Hollen, and we, members of the House, will go. We've asked for a trip, a congressional delegation. The majority will never approve that, so we're just going to go on our own dime.
Here we go.
Well, thank you, Dan.
That sad poem. First they came for the communists.
Oh, God.
And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for the unionists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a unionist. And then they came for the Catholics and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Catholic. And then they came for me. And there was no one to speak for me. We must not let that happen.
All right, these are people sitting there in Bluebell, this all-time hypocrite. That's why she's the dean of the squad. Coming up, in a bit of rebuttal, if we ever got her on again, we were arguing about potholes the first time she was on. I'll play for you. I wonder what Madeline Dean would say to the mom that we played you yesterday. We'll play you a little bit again because these people out of Montgomery County are a large part of the problem. Montgomery County, we told you yesterday, 29 times they let people go that ICE had a detainer on. We'll play you the mom, Mrs. Morin, who was at the White House. How did Madeline Dean deal with her? Did she vote for Lake and Riley? Did she vote to... You talk about disappearing, Madeline. You're going to be disappeared now. And she's gone off to El Salvador. I'm still telling you calmly, my judgment is this is such a political loser. You saw the guy yesterday having margaritas with Van Hollen, with the baseball hat on, that we don't know what it says. Now, this prison is nothing to fool around with, no doubt. Whether or not they want to clarify there was an error here of him going to the prison or not, he's gone. You know the Trump administration. I don't care what they do. They bring him back here. He's going to be arrested, and he is Project One to get to another country. I don't know for a fact, but I bet already there are countries that are contacted to take him, that he's not going to be in this country, nor should he be. Imagine these people sitting over in Bluebell thinking they're going to be disappeared, and it's the Nazis. That's Hitler. Came for, I think it was the trade unionist. She may be right. It might be the unionist. They came for all them, and nobody did anything, and then there was nobody for me. This is what they're always reduced to. Thank you, Dan. That's as unbelievable to be sitting in Montgomery County and thinking this is reality, that that's what's going on here, versus this guy. Why die on the hill with this guy? Because they're in a hurry. You know, maybe there's another case where a mistake was made. Look at who they're standing up for. They're standing up for and raising money for that kid that stabbed the other at the track meet with a butcher knife he had in his bag. They're standing up for the Maryland guy. They're standing up for the Columbia guy. How much of this can you do? Very little. It doesn't work with people in the end. You may rouse a certain base who virtue signal to say, yes, we're standing with you. They can't disappear all of us. But in the end, we know how the election turned out, and we know how this is going to turn out. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's talk about Dr. Benz here for a moment. If you're looking for a dentist you can trust, then you need my friend and dentist, Dr. Robert Benz of the Benz Dental Group in East Norriton. I've been telling you for years that patients come to Dr. Benz from all over the area, from out of the area, even other states, Florida, for example. You get to know Dr. Benz and his team. Yesterday I was there for just a quick check and a cleaning. Helen, his new hygienist, gave me a lot of really good tips. I mean, they just don't say keep your teeth clean. They specifically take the time to work with you on this or your overall dental plan on the big stuff. And Dr. Benz is tremendously good with diagnostic stuff. He recently found something with one patient was quite serious and others had missed. He has the tools, he has the staff, and he has the expertise to do these things. You would get the very best care. I'm happy the last two or three times I've been at Dr. Benz's, just in the last couple of weeks, I met each time at least one patient that heard this, took the message, and now is a long-term patient of Dr. Benz. Get the smile that you've always wanted. Get on the road for greater dental health. Call the Benz Dental Group, 610-272-6949. Visit BenzDentalGroup.com, B-E-N-T-Z, DentalGroup.com. Call 610-272-6949. Okay, it is Dom time. Welcome. Coming to you. I see an historic bad boy here that is an unbelievable answer. And I would agree, you know, just big record, but a hint of bad behavior. We'll get to that. But you just heard, here is the mom. You may not have heard it yesterday. Henry, it's cut one. Here's the mom, and I may stop it at some point here. It is just grueling. In answer to Madeline Dean and these virtue signalers sitting out there in Bluebell. Okay. They are on her own dime. We'll see about that. We'll see if Madeline Dean does that. Does that mean out of her own pocket? Is that out of your own pocket? That's the first thing we're going to be checking on, Madeline. No, it'll be out of campaign money or somebody else. Maybe they'll have a sponsor that will take them to El Salvador. You're not going to pay for that yourself. You're a fraud. Here is the mom. What would you say to her, Lake and Riley's parents and others? The point being, you are willing to go to the moon here, El Salvador. You can't wait to be going on this junket. And yet, you can't vote to protect Lake and Riley or people like the Morins. Here's what the mother said.
When she went on that trail that day, she was not planning on dying. She wasn't planning on walking to her death. She was planning on going to the grocery store with her girls afterwards. Victor Martinez, he waited for her. He waited for her to come closer. He saw her He saw that there was nobody around. He attacked her. He dragged her 150 feet, blood gushing from her head. It left a 150 foot trail of her blood to the culverts, where he picked her up. He threw her against the wall of the tunnel, and he raped her. But before he did that, he stopped on that trail, and rocks, still stained with her blood, he used them to hammer her head against those rocks. They say at least 20 times they could count the cuts in her head. They said that when they did the autopsy, and I've seen the pictures, there's a 6-inch square in the back of her head.
I'd have her, thank you.
Is
yeah.
Shattered.
That's the thing that stuck with me, the 6-inch square in the back of her head. Okay? So, sitting out in Bluebell, they're going to disappear you. They're all revved up over this guy, how offended they are. But they've completely lost standing here. If they were as offended with Lake and Riley, if they would at least, and I get it, they're against this, their ideology, they can't bring themselves toward this. And I get some of the tension here, some of the back and forth over Garcia. But in the end, all that matters is if he comes back to the United States, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be deported to another country. That is what is going to happen, and that is what should happen. And I think the Trump administration will move heaven and earth to make sure it does happen. And the more they identify with this out of everything that's out there, and again, there might be somebody in this whole debate on illegal immigration where you can make a case looking at it just politically, that there's some degree of sympathy here. Maybe you can glom onto that. The more you learn about this guy, I mean, there's a guy that's beating his wife, according to what she filed. We're going to die on this hill. We're going to take those junkets. We're all going to be brave and go to El Salvador. Madeline Dean from Montgomery County. A woman who the Inquirer says she and her husband, the first time she ran, made their money off of his bicycle company. I think she was involved, which was in China and at best was using borderline slave labor or slave labor to engage in this. That's what this is about. So how in the world are we going to be lectured to by the Madeline Deans, the Mary Gay Scanlons, the Houlihan? Question I still have, though, are these suburban people just ignorant? They're more educated, more affluent. In Montgomery County, it used to be the most affluent, educated county in Pennsylvania on paper. Have their minds just gone to mush? That ideology is bred into them, that they just see it a different way. They don't stand with Lake and Riley, they stand with Garcia. And whenever you can freeze frame something down to something what I just said, that simple, which side are you hell-bent to be on? Which side is obvious where all your energies go? How did they ever get elected? This is a loser. Now, maybe it's not a loser in certain sections of Montgomery County and those Pennsylvania suburbs. But in a lot of America, this is a loser. I just saw a poll up that the vast majority of people, even in California, do not want males in female sports. Okay? California. Now, I don't know in Montgomery County. It might be even crazier. Comes back to me, what in the world has happened to the Philadelphia suburbs where people like this are the representative? You know, are Republicans not doing a good enough job of articulating this? I'm not sure. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. You know, it's said that you don't just visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with this ancient crossroads of civilization, the Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans. They're all there. They have all left their cultural mark. I'd like you to do what they did. Join us. Join Ro, me, and Talk Radio 1210 listeners. That's the beauty of it. The unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe and Sicily and Calabria this fall. This is the trip for you. You've heard about Sicily, White Lotus, all kinds of things. You've heard Dawn and I talk about our trips to Italy with conservative tours. Nobody does it like they do. All this for $55.44, including airfare. The dining events are not only lavish, great food, drink, but also it's the local color. They go to the spots, they know them. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Montreal, the Palace of the Normans, all of it's there. Call now, 888-733-9494, or go to conservativetours.com. We'll also enjoy the Godfather Tour. Visit the locales from the movie. The crown jewel of Sicily, that has to be Taormina. I'll see you in Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily, ancient, charming, picturesque, a country within a country. I'll also see you in Savoca. Call now, Conservative Tours, 888-733-9494. Tom Giordano's show, welcome in. Bad Boys, the side topic today. We haven't forgotten about that. Martin Lawrence's birthday is what triggered that. But you heard Madeline Dean, you heard Mrs. Morin. This is right from Bluebell Thursday night. On my own dime, et cetera. President Trump, several people pointing out on Twitter, we were watching on Fox, they cover the whole thing when he, you would think MSNBC would want to stick to this. It was newsworthy. They cut away. I'm not sure about CNN when Trump was reading from the report, the police report, et cetera. You would think they'd want to stay there. They might have somebody on the counter and say, well, Trump's leaving this out. That's fine. But they cut away from it. They did not cover Mrs. Morin speaking the other day. And on that, you can say, look, the sadness of this is unbearable, what she said. But that still doesn't mean that Garcia should be in El Salvador. But the point we're making is this pain, this misery, these people being murdered didn't have to happen. Democrats ignore that. It's inconvenient for them. But they're all over. You heard Madeline Dean saying, hey, we're going to go to, I'll go on my own dime since they won't give us the money in the House to go there on a junket. Okay, we're going to see that. We're going to see who pays for it. We're going to see what nonsense she'll say there. And I know it's maddening. What's maddening to me? I mean, the broader thing politically, I see where this goes. It doesn't go well for them. What's maddening to me is what in the world are these people thinking in the Pennsylvania suburbs? Because when you look around, the one Republican is very moderate, Ryan Fitzpatrick in Bucks. In Delco, you have Mary Gay Scanlon, who's progressive. You have Madeline Dean, who's more of the hypocrite party than anything. And then you have Houlihan in Chester County. So whatever, they are winning the day in the suburbs. Based on what? Now, last time, Bucks County was won by President Trump, and he did better than he did in 2020 in the suburbs. But still, we've seen the stuff that goes on even in Bucks County with the commissioners. So it's an ongoing question of where the appeal is here. Tomorrow, Philadelphia, of course, has this rally for the ride of Paul Revere calling out Trump. But the other place is Ambler. Ambler is a funny place. The times I've talked about them over the years, at one time it was about the nonsense at their school board or their town council meeting of having to translate stuff in Spanish, and they seem to be a sanctuary town to me. Tomorrow they're having hands-off Ambler. People are coming in costume. Paul Revere. Maybe horses. Who knows? And what are they alerting us to? Trump and disappearing people. Ambler. It's another example of this suburban type of stuff. You know, the main line used to be places that were pretty liberal, but it's all over the place in the suburbs now. What is it that they're seeing that's different, even on the trans issues, anything that you want to say, that they elect people like Madeline Dean, all-star hypocrite, just an all-star? I told you how she made their money, and I didn't know that. Until the Philadelphia Inquirer, Joe DiStefano, the business people, they're the ones that alerted the public to it. But that's okay. They don't care how you got your money. They want to have money, but they want to lecture you. She is one of the all-time worst. And the stuff that she just said there, Republicans ought to be able to run it with that all over the place. She's hell-bent to go to El Salvador. Where was she on this issue of illegal immigration and the people that we've talked about? Even politically, not wanting to at least put up a political front around it. So is Garcia there by error? What does that mean? I could see what could happen is he gets out of the prison. They bring him back here. And I don't know this, but behind the scenes, the Trump administration is looking at another country. He's not going back to El Salvador unless he's going to be in prison. He's not going to stay here. I don't care what they do, what they say. I would predict you are not going to see this guy here. And I told you, I thought Jesse Waters was a little bit over the top, too cavalier with the Bulls hats and this guy and all that. Who knows? But then ICE and others report that there is some semblance of this stuff with MS-13. He was consorting with them. He's got all kinds of arrests, all kinds of stuff back and forth. You have the wife who was on Good Morning America today and wouldn't answer that, saying that, oh, my God. I don't know, Henry, if you have that. Dan said there was more from Dean. I know he's setting something up. You do? Okay. Here's more from Madeline Dean, that she continues by personalizing this, saying her son is a tattoo of a crown.
Pastor Niemoller. And how he evolved and learned in his own history, in his own life, and wrote that beautiful poem, reminding us any one of us could be disappeared. My son has a lot of tattoos. One of them's a crown. He might be disappeared. I have a tattoo. My husband thinks we should write an article. My son and I might both be disappeared. You just don't know.
Oh, my God. I know she has the tattoo. I remember that whole. I think it's on her ankle. They're going to disappear.
Not the lower back.
Henry, come on, don't draw me into that. You know where I'm going with that. Thank you for that. Yeah, the lower back, the tramp stamp. I'm not going to go there on that. No. I believe it's on the ankle. I remember she taught at LaSalle, and we did a big thing on that. And not that you can't have a tattoo. Some tattoos are flattering. I'm fine with that. But the son is going to be disappeared. He's got a bunch of tattoos, and she has a tattoo. And what are they going to say in El Salvador? All right, we keep those cuts. These are world-class, the type of stuff that's going on. All right, David Zwig is an independent journalist. You may remember that name. David was with us right in the beginning of COVID, and it was that summer, talking about some of the wacky stuff. They were saying if you're having a summer camp, you can't do this, that, and the other. Then he's the one that went through schools and what they were doing. And we used to kid him, there's a book there. Well, his book is out. An Absence of Caution, American Schools, the Virus, and the Story of Bad Decisions. He's next, but keep the calls coming and give me your reaction to this. This last part is even wilder. What the heck is wrong with these people? I'm not saying they're all wealthy, they're all insulated from damage that other people experience. But something has happened in the Philadelphia suburbs I've been talking about for 10 years. I blame the Republican Party, too. You can't beat this. We can't beat people like this talking about she's got a tattoo, they're going to take her to El Salvador. 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.